Well, tonight's message is not a traditional Christmas Eve message. Oh, it's about Jesus, but it is his story found in the Christmas tree. I want to take a few minutes to talk about one of the most iconic symbols of the holiday season, the Christmas tree. Christmas trees are beautiful and festive, and by their mere presence, they shout to the world that Christmas is here. But like many things that mark our celebration of the season, the Christmas tree too has come under fire. And not just by the secular world, but instead by the very ones to whom Christmas should mean so much, well-meaning, albeit a little misinformed, Christians. The argument of those opposed to the Christmas tree is that it is a pagan symbol of fertility, that it was worshipped by heathens, and furthermore, the Bible forbids a Christmas tree to be erected. Yes, they say Christmas trees are in the Bible. The conclusion drawn from these protests is that if one has a Christmas tree erected in their church or home or wherever, that one is implicitly participating in idol worship. And that would make them an idolater. And God hates idolatry. Makes perfect sense. Are these arguments and conclusions valid? Tonight I want to answer those questions briefly and present the truth about the Christmas tree because it ties into the birth of Jesus. And that's what we are commemorating tonight after all. So to the first question, is the Christmas tree really mentioned in the Bible? And is it an idol? Let's look at the passage that most people refer to substantiate their conviction that the Bible mentions Christmas trees as an idol, putting those who erect one on God's naughty list. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Jeremiah 10. If you don't have your Bibles tonight, we will have it on the screen. I'll give you just a moment to flip there. Well, since I don't hear pages turning, we'll go ahead and have it on the screen. Jeremiah 10, verse 1. Hear the word which the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the Gentiles, and do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the Gentiles are dismayed at them. For the customs of the peoples are futile. For one cuts a tree from the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe, and they decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers so that it will not topple. Well, slap me silly and call me an elf. There it is in black and white. Sounds just like a Christmas tree to me. Is it really? Let's look at the context from where it came. These verses come from a section of Jeremiah which deals with Israel's abomination in conjunction with the worship of Baal. There were lots of terrible things involved with that religion, and God was telling Israel that they were going to incur his wrath for their participation in the religion. And the prophet lists some things in the preceding and the following chapters that really provoked God's anger, one of which was tied to worshiping trees as a ritual in the Baal religion. Trees have always been considered a symbol of life and connected to the supernatural. And because of the seeds they produced, they were also symbolic of fertility. In the Baal religion, it is said that Baal was the creator of trees in life. Worshipping them, it was thought, would invoke his blessings for one's agricultural harvest. So they would hang silver and gold a little bit to bribe the god, but they also symbolized the wealth that they hoped to gain from Baal's blessings and the wealth that it would bring them for their harvest. So to make a long explanation short, these were not Christmas trees mentioned in the Bible. The trees mentioned in Jeremiah were fashioned into literal idols. And they, along with countless other items of worship, caused the Israelites to incur God's wrath. The Christmas tree, as we know it, would not come around for a couple of thousand years and would be birthed out of the Christ story. That's why we're talking about it tonight, and not paganism. So are we idolaters for having a Christmas tree in the sanctuary, our homes, etc.? No. The Bible does not refer to Christmas trees at all. So where did we get the Christmas tree? There are many legends surrounding the Christmas tree and ancient customs regarding the use of evergreens in people's homes during the winter solstice. However, the most popular story is that the Christmas tree, as we know it, originated in the 7th century. A zealous young monk named Winfred, later Saint Boniface, in his attempt to evangelize the barbarian tribes of Germany, used the tree to teach about God. It is said that one day he came across a group of men whom he knew, presenting sacrifices at the base of a tree and worshiping an oak tree in the woods. He grabbed the nearby axe and chopped down the tree in righteous indignation. Sometime later, when people passed by the tree stump, they were amazed because they saw a new tree sprouting from the old stump. But it was not an oak tree. It was an evergreen tree. A seed had fallen into the old oak stump. And they told Winfred about it, and when he saw it, a marvelous thought occurred to him. Winfred began to teach that the fir tree was an example of Christ's victory over death, from which new life springs forth, a new creation, if you will, in Christ. He taught the people that the shape of the triangular tree, we have a pointed top and it goes down into a triangular form, is representative of the Trinity. Additionally, its bow at the base extends outward as Christ's arms did at the cross. The top points straight up to God the Father, whom Jesus glorified. Its green color speaks of life. Its smell is reminiscent of frankincense used at Christ's burial. And with the story of the gospel presented in the fir tree, he won many people to Christ. It eventually began to be placed in homes at Christmas and during the dark winters as a symbol of God's presence in the darkness. Tonight I'd like to take the imagery found within the evergreen tree a little bit further in its application to our lives. In Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16, Jesus, speaking to his disciples and those around him, he says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father that is in heaven." So Jesus is talking to his followers, and that is you and me. We are the lights glorifying the Father and Christ. And the brighter God's light shines within us, the more glory he gets. The lights on the tree depict our worship arrangement, an assignment, if you will. We exist to bring glory to God. The ornaments, if you'll see the ornaments on our tree, the ornaments symbolize all of us who look a little different. We're shaped a little different, but we are still part of the body, giving glory to Jesus as we abide in him. Only as these ornaments glorify Christ is their full potential realized. The gifts under the tree represent the greatest gift ever given. Jesus Christ, and then His Holy Spirit, given as a gift to us so that we might glorify the giver of life. One more thing about the Christmas tree I want to point out that I believe is no mere coincidence. All the way back in the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it reads, The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We are all familiar with this story. There were two trees in the midst of the garden. Adam and Eve ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and death came into the world. The tree that gave eternal life and provided immortality was also there. It was to be their source of eternal life. Their access to it, though, was cut off when they sinned against God. And humanity had no hope of living forever in God's presence. So death reigned from Adam until Jesus came on the scene. Then, in a not-so-ironic move of God, Jesus was crucified on a wooden cross. In the book of Acts, this cross in the Greek shares the same word as tree, and in fact, in many translations, especially in Acts chapter 5, verse 30, and chapter 10, verse 39, it says that Jesus was crucified on a tree. The cross represents the tree of life that was lost through man's disobedience. And by Christ dying on the cross, we are to understand that He was redeeming eternal life for us and making it available once again and forever this time. And we read in the book of Revelations, chapter 22, "Then He showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there will no longer be any curse." So as Jesus hung on the cross, He was redeeming life for all of us. So even if at one time an evergreen was worshipped by pagans, does it matter now? We don't worship the tree. It does, however, point us to God if we allow it to do so. When I see a Christmas tree, I see God's love for me and for the whole world, so much so that He sent His only Son to die for our sins, that we might forever live in the presence of God the Father. The incredible story of Christ's death all began with a simple birth, which we celebrate tonight. So to conclude, I believe that the Christmas tree is one of the most significant symbols of Jesus in our culture today, especially in the season we celebrate His birth. Everywhere I go and see a Christmas tree, I'm reminded of Jesus. Whether they know it or not, stores, malls, offices, doctors' offices, and schools proclaim Jesus when they put up a Christmas tree. But don't tell them. They might take it down. How could anyone call it evil? I'm not sure. Some will insist. Nevertheless, God looks at our hearts, and as we give glory to God through displaying our Christmas trees, I can only surmise that it pleases Him. So when we see a tree, look up to the Father and thank Him for His Son. As green represents life, let Christ be the source of life and abide in Him. We are His branches, so bear good fruit. Finally, let our arms stretch out as the bowl reaches out, reaching out to others with the love of Christ, that they may give glory to the Father. Amen. As we enter into the concluding events of tonight's Christmas Eve service, I want to give you the opportunity, if you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, to make Him your Lord tonight. If you would bow your heads with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who died a horrible and agonizing death for us. Lord, we thank You for salvation made possible through the cross. If you're here tonight and you do not have a relationship with Jesus, and the Holy Spirit has put on your heart, like, I need to know this Jesus. I need to have a relationship with Him that the Bible promises me, to be redeemed to the Father. If that's you, and the words that has been spoken here touch your heart, I would just like you to lift your hand, acknowledging that you desire a relationship with Jesus Christ. Anyone tonight? God bless us. Lord, I thank You for all those that You've brought. Be with those that are traveling tonight, and may they find the peace of Christ in their families and in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.